Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. And let's look in the Word of God at what God has to say. I want us to look at verse number 5, if we could. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. And a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit. Think about that. Neither hath he power in the day of death. And there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. Father, I pray, God, tonight that you would cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me be a blessing. Help the Bible to come alive to us. That we would stop reading it and holding it and toting it and flaunting it without allowing it to consume us, and to challenge us, and to change us. This book is life changing. And every time we open it, that's what should happen. Now do that once again tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I was talking to a church member this week about a church with a pastor that's struggling to find Bible to preach on. And I'm trying to quit by 8:30. Do you realize you can't even exhaust all of one verse in 35 minutes? How in the world men mount a pulpit and don't find Bible to preach on? There's a lot going on in politics, a lot going on CNN and Fox News, a lot going on in the White House. But we didn't come here tonight to get a political refresher. We've got the Bible, amen? And thank God for the precious Word of God. We're dealing with the subject of wisdom as it pertains to authority. And Solomon, when he was old, the Bible says, got off track. When he was old. When he should have been the wisest, he was the most foolish. Here the man, Dr. Holden and I were talking about this Sunday, we were talking about this together. The man who not only was wise, but the man who got the largest measure of wisdom of any man in all of the Bible found himself making foolish decisions. It says to us, anybody can become a fool. And it also says to us, doesn't matter how long you've been at that, you can lose at any time. And so Solomon takes wisdom and wisdom's benefits in chapter number 7. It's better, it's better, it's better, it's better. We heard that so many times here in chapter number 7. And then in chapter number 8, he continues to deal with this wisdom amidst wickedness. And the essence of having wisdom amidst wickedness is that if we don't have wisdom when we're in the middle of wickedness, we're bound to do those same wicked things. I don't care who you are. How much Bible you know. If you're surrounded by sin, eventually you will engage in it unless you're wise. So Solomon says wisdom amidst wickedness, and he says particularly in the area of authority. We saw that premium distinction of wisdom. Who is as the wise man? When you get wise, it separates you from the rest of the world. Now, we categorize people in our society by monetary status, by education, by color, by creed. But God says, if you really want to be distinct in America today, don't just get a new car, get a new job, get a new certification. get right with God so that you have wisdom. That separates you from the rest. We saw the proper duty of when it comes to authority. We can respond properly and keep the commandment of someone that's over us. We can respond with passionate desertion. We can get mad and leave their presence because we don't like what they said. We can have plain defiance. We can question them. Who are you? You telling me what to do? All of those are responses that we can use when it comes to authority. And by the way, we were watching the football game the other night. Brother Ron Miller, Brother Brian Powell, Pittsburgh Steelers, and the Cincinnati Bengals. And it was a firm example of how somebody with no wisdom responds improperly to authority, loses the game for his team, gets fined money on his salary, and already suspended next year's season when this year's season isn't over because he didn't want to be told what to do. Those things will follow. You think when you sign a big contract, you're going to automatically learn how to obey authority? Get a promotion, you automatically learn how to obey authority? Here's a guy that's learned, obviously, for a long time not to be told what to do. And somebody else getting in the face of a referee, if he had just submitted to authority, he'd still be playing this weekend. A lack of wisdom. Character will never be trumped by circumstances. See, you can't wait on your circumstances to be better, to make you better. You got to get better so that when circumstances aren't good, you still know how to act good. Amen. And that's what wisdom does. It balances and it stabilizes and it provides continuity and steadfastness and stability in the midst of instability. Look at me and hear me well. It is becoming increasingly harder to live the Christian life in America by the day. By the day. Increasingly harder to live out Christianity by the day. But guess what? Even though that's the case, God doesn't cut us any slack. He still expects us to be Christians even though it's hard to be Christians. He still expects us to do right even though it's not convenient to do right. He still expects us to be pure even though impurity surrounds us. Why? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Now, do you remember when they used to take your SATs or your tests where you just sit down and they test your knowledge? Remember they used to say to you, you can't study for this. There's no way to study for an SAT. You can study for spelling test, math test, science. But you can't study for an SAT. Because we're not just studying how well you know the information in that chapter. We're not just testing how well you know the information in that chapter. We're just testing the way you think. We're testing your brain capacity. We're testing how smart you really are. Not just about a specific subject, but about life itself. You know what wisdom does? Wisdom gives you smarts about life itself. Because the devil doesn't play fair and he doesn't give you an answer key before you take the test. So wisdom prepares us for that. Now write down this fourth response, which is pure discernment with authority. This is somebody who's made up his mind that I'm going to use wisdom when it comes to authority. And wisdom's going to tell me to submit. Pure discernment. Whoso keepeth the commandment. This is someone who has learned to follow instructions, who has learned to submit to authority, who has learned to follow the instructions of those over him, who has learned to willingly place himself under the God-mandated authority in his life. This is someone who is acting with discernment. Notice what the Bible says. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. It's what I call peaceful submission. Now listen to me, beloved. There is something spectacular about being under authority. Understanding authority is given by God, using discernment to submit to that authority. God says when you do right and do what you're supposed to do, evil will come other people's way, but you won't feel it. there's peace in obedience. See, when you don't obey, it messes with your sleep. When you don't obey, it messes with your prayers. When you don't obey, you have trouble listening to preaching. When you don't obey, you don't enjoy reading the Bible. When you don't obey, it steals your joy. When you don't obey, you are directed by circumstance. Now, listen to me. You're going to get into some situations in your life where those that are in authority over you will give you some instructions. And watch this now. You'll get cronies around you that will encourage you to rebel, that will encourage you to cut corners, that will encourage you to be deceptive, that will encourage you to do it your own way, that will huddle up and say, we know better, we think better, we understand better, and we can do better. And I'm telling you something, when evil comes in the building, it will know your address and make sure it visits your cubicle. But when you mark it down, I'm going to do right, because when I do right to authority, I am doing right by God. Then when evil whips through the building, it won't whip your way, because God says there's peace in obedience. Great peace. Peaceful submission. And watch this now. Prudent sight. Look at the verse. A wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Here's what he's saying. Let me tell you what wisdom does with authority. Wisdom gives you some discernment to know when to do and what to do. How many of you know that sometimes doing something at the wrong time will get you in a lot of trouble? And sometimes the right time doing the wrong thing will get you into trouble. See, you know what wisdom does? Wisdom doesn't just get you doing the right thing, but it gets you doing it at the right time. Wisdom doesn't just get you at the right time, but it gets you doing the right thing. He says time and discernment. Biblical example. Nehemiah hears that the walls are broken down in Jerusalem. And he's burdened about it. But he didn't just run in to work to the king or wake up the king in the middle of the night and say, hey, my city's broken down. I got to go. He starts talking to God. He prays to God even while he's doing his business at work. So you know what wisdom will tell you? Wisdom will tell you that just because you have problems, it doesn't relieve you of responsibility. And I remember I was a senior in high school, and I was leaving the house to go to school, and I went to school, left the house in McLean, and started driving the car, realized I'd forgotten something. So I turned back around, went back to the house, and got some, had a project due. I was preaching at church that night. So I grabbed the thing that I had left and got back in the car and rushed out, got to the end of the street, started looking down for a quarter in the cup holder because we paid a toll coming when we leave out from McLean. So I need 25-cent quarter, so I'm getting this quarter together. I looked down to get the quarter and turned out in the road, and before I looked up, bam, I ran into the back of someone. And I'd never been in an accident before. So I jumped up. And the people behind me were holding their phones out. Do you need to call somebody? And the people in front of me were like, what in the world? This crazy boy done hit us. I didn't pay attention to anybody. I ran back home. I got out the car and just ran. I wasn't thinking. Left the scene of the car. I told you, you're talking about a hit and run. I'm talking about I hit and ran. And I rung the doorbell. And, well, you know, Daddy answered the door. The wrong person. He said, what happened? I said, ha, 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 ha. What happened? Are you saying, Daddy, I don't know what's wrong. Jeanette! She came in the door. Do you not feel good? Is something bothering you? Did something go wrong? Did you hit somebody? She said, oh, Lord, we better get back up there. You know, the truth of the matter is, I lacked wisdom. And even though I had gotten into an unfortunate situation, I lost all sense of direction and failed to realize that just because I hit a car and I wasn't used to it, didn't relieve me of the responsibility to dealing with the people who I ran into. You know what amazes me? Spiritual immaturity will cause you to enter a situation in your personal life and fail to realize that doesn't mean that everything else that you're responsible for stops. Well, I'm not feeling well today. That doesn't mean that God shouldn't be worshipped. Well, I'm going through rough. That doesn't mean you shouldn't tithe. Well, I don't feel right. That doesn't mean you shouldn't sow win. Amen. Aren't you glad that when God has a rebellious child like one of us that doesn't do right, he doesn't go, I'm mad today with my child over there, so I ain't blessing none of them. Wisdom gives us time and judgment. And my, we need it. Because it's not just about pulling the trigger, it's about when to pull it. It's not just about going, it's about when to go. It's not just about when, it's about what. And he said, wisdom gives you prudent sight. Daniel chapter 1, another example. He's a Gentile in a foreign land. He's told to eat food that's a violation of God's command. What did he do? Strut up into the palace and say, look here, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm a Jew. I don't eat your stuff. And if you don't like it, you can talk to God about it. That's not what happened. You know what he did? He suggested to the king to allow these other boys to eat pulse and water. And because not only he did right, but he did right with proper time and judgment, God allowed them to, through Nebuchadnezzar's allowance, to eat the right food. It proved, amen, that God was right, and they were promoted in a Gentile. They were promoted as Jews in a Gentile kingdom. The disciples, Acts 4 and 5. God told them to preach the gospel. People didn't like that they were preaching the gospel. They locked them up and threw them in jail. But the apostles chose to render the proper respect to jailers who were mistreating them. And when it came time to be released, they released those disciples with the right testimony, and they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for righteousness. I'm going to tell you something. Just because you got the right position doesn't excuse your wrong disposition. And wisdom tells me I may be right and I may have Bible to prove it, but if I execute the right position with the wrong disposition, I lack wisdom and I cause myself problems. You better be careful that you don't get so ahead of yourself, that I don't get so ahead of myself, that I think that just because I'm right, it gives me the right to do my rights the wrong way. I was talking to someone today. They said, Pastor Baldwin, we need wisdom. Not just to know what to do, but to know when to do it. And many times we look back to our life and we go, you know, that was right. Sure was. But it wasn't right to do it then. He says, pure discernment gives me prudent sight. Notice very quickly, providential determination. This is wisdom. To every purpose there is time and judgment. Here's what Solomon's saying. Everything has a time and a judgment. But that time and judgment is in the control of a sovereign God. I know this is what we call elementary Christian. But let's pause and think. Because in 2016, some of the biggest changes in our lives need to happen in our minds. Okay, not in our pockets. And then we think we need all these changes. In 2016, I'm coming out of debt. I'm coming out of Okay, God bless you. Lose your pounds and get out of debt and praise the Lord for it. But some of the biggest changes we need to make is between our two ears, between our two eyes. The way we think. And here's one of the big changes that we need to make to our everyday instinctive thinking. I need to remind myself when I wake up in the morning that everything that happens to me today is in the sovereign control of an awesome, all-powerful, omnipotent, unchanging, eternal God. I'm going to tell you something. It's hard to get stressed out when you know God's in control. And yet, many, I dare say, most of our decisions are made without being cognizant of that. God's in control. You with me? I left the house on time and there's traffic on the highway. Now, we're about to get in the flesh when we see the red brake lights. Watch this now. God is in control. I'm looking at my money, and it doesn't add up to where I God is in control. Now, if you're not tithing, you got issues. Amen. You can't go, well, I'm broke, but God wanted me to be broke. No, he didn't. He wants you to be faithful. But wisdom reminds me that there's a sovereign controller. Anything that's controlled by human beings is susceptible to failure. The best of them. But when God's got it, nothing bad can happen unless he lets it. Now, you won't tell me, I'm speaking for myself. I don't always think that way. But when I do, you know what it does? It makes me want to worship him more. You're in control. You're in control. You're in control. You know what's going on. You've not lost. Nobody snatched the joystick, the controller out of your hand. You're not scratching your head going, oh my goodness, look at the election. Oh my goodness, look at terrorism. Oh my goodness, look at the stock market. Oh my goodness, look at the change of weather. I'd like to tell you, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? He's in control. Sovereign control. But there's also a sure cluelessness. A sovereign control, but a sure cluelessness. Here it is. For he knoweth, verse 7, not that which shall be. For who can tell him when it shall be? Now, we're talking about wisdom, right? Now, you just said, Pastor, when I have wisdom, I know time and judgment. And now, you're telling me God controls time and judgment. And now you're telling me the God that controls time and judgment doesn't tell us. Now, how many of us think enough of ourselves to say, if I knew that evil was coming, I would have avoided it. I mean, nobody steps in a trap you know that's there. I mean, God, if you told me when I walked into this relationship that it was no good, I wouldn't walk into it. If I knew that this highway was backed up, I would have taken another one. Hey, let me tell you something. Not only is God in control, but I want to tell you something. That God becomes bigger in your own mind when you are clueless. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Somebody said to me this week, Pastor, I'm so used to knowing what's next. I said, you can't be strong until you're weak. Job said, I look to my right hand. I look to my left hand. I look forward. I look backward. I look to my spot where I'm used to God working. And I could not find him. But he knoweth the way that I take. Pastor, you're talking about wisdom. You're telling me if I have it, I'll know when and what to do. But now you're telling me that the when and what is up to God. And he doesn't tell me what's coming. So therefore, I don't know when and what to do. Now, I'm going to help. I'm going to help all of us tonight. The best thing to do when you don't know what to do is to keep doing what you do know what to do. Now listen to me. You can't get more light in an area if you're not walking in the light you already have. Listen, if you want God to help you with this decision, you can't stop doing right with where he's already helped you. He knoweth not. And who can tell him? So you done found you a psychic? Palm reader? Fortune teller, soothsayer. I went to 7-Eleven tonight. I think I was the only person in there not buying a Powerball. Everybody was lined up for Powerball. I am not buying one. But if you win, Crossroads Baptist Church. Don't tell me where you got it. Don't tell me how you got it. Just write the check. All right. There's power in the blood. All right. Now, what was I saying? So I went in 7-Eleven tonight. And everybody's lined up for Powerball. And I'm thinking to myself, what are the chances? I mean, all these people buying this ticket. And one man said, you already know what I want, to the guy. 5 lottery tickets. I know I ain't going to win. But give them to me anyway. It's just so many words. This is what he was saying. And that's the case for just about everybody. Except for the one, right? And I wonder, why in the world would people line up at a counter to throw away their money at chance instead of lining up at the throne of God to throw themselves at God's feet with not chance but confidence that he which hath begun a good work in me will perform it in the day of Jesus Christ. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I'd like to ask you, before you made a move about something you didn't know, did you spend 30 days praying about it? I don't know what to do. You know you should pray. I don't know what to do. You know you should read your Bible. You know you should tithe. You know you should be faithful to God's house. This is what God is trying to teach us. You don't know, and I don't want you to know. And if you did know, you'd be just like I am, God. But when I got you clueless, you're reminded that I'm in control. Now this puts us in a sad condition, and we'll close. Therefore, verse number 6, last part. The misery of man is great upon him. This is where we often lack wisdom. We get discouraged because we don't know. I want to talk to somebody tonight who's going through a trial in your life. And your biggest frustration is, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. I can't tell which way. I can't get answers. One of the most difficult things physically is to have a medical condition that you know is not right. But for those who are supposed to help you, not to know what's wrong. I don't know. Solomon said you need wisdom. Because if you get stuck on what you don't know, it'll cause you to be miserable. He said the child of God who lacks wisdom and focuses on the part of his life that he can't figure out finds himself discouraged. Listen to me. You know what you need to do? You need to determine in 2016. I ain't going to spend my time whining about what I don't know. I'm going to spend my time rejoicing about what I do know. I know in whom I have believed. And I know that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I don't know what you don't know tonight. But I know there's enough that you do know to convince you that whatever you don't know, God knows. And as long as God knows, we're good. Our Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the word. We have people in this church right now that are going through difficult times physically, financially, relationally, emotionally, on and on. And there's a lot of no-nos. But God, give us wisdom. Wisdom to know that you know. Thank you for your control. Thank you for your providence. Thank you for your goodness. Now bless this invitation time and those who've already come, those who will yet come. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together, unless you're praying, may God help us. God, I don't know. But you know. God, we need help. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. Next week, we spend time talking about death. I need some wisdom with dealing with this. God help us. What are you going through right now? What are you facing? What's staring you in the face with no apparent logic? What won't get right? What won't fix? What won't shape up? What won't move? What can you not get answers to? If you focus on the fact you don't know, the Bible says misery. Remember what you know. Lord, thank you. Thank you for giving us enough no's, K-N-O-W-S, that we should not drown in the don't know's. Change our mindsets and our outlooks. that in 2016, we'd be wise enough to let you control what's yours to control. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's children said,